If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Radiohead has responded to hackers and released 18 hours of previously unheard OK Computer material in the aid of Extinction Rebellion. That's the sort of obtuse headline in the news today. Radiohead's the band. They had an album called OK Computer. When they recorded that, they had hours of stuff they didn't release that was saved and cataloged on, I think, a thumb drive. Somebody got a hold of that and tried to extort the band. They said, if you don't give us, what was it, $20,000? No, I think it was...
No, $150,000.
$150,000. $20,000 is another number that's going to come up here in a minute. If you don't give us $150,000, then we are going to release it on our own. You won't have control of it. And the band said, rather than that, we'll release it ourselves, even though maybe they didn't want it put out. You know, you want to protect your product. And then if you want to buy it or make a donation, you can. And they'll take the proceeds from that and give it to an environmental group for charity. So they sort of have taken the opportunity away from the hackers. But think about that. It's a ransom note that they get. It says, we're going to release your material unauthorized unless you give us 150 grand. This sort of thing happens to companies all the time. I know of one company in the Chicago area just recently, this happened to them. They got a ransom email. It said, we have hacked your computers and we will compromise your data. We'll erase some of your contacts and data and information unless you give us, I think it was $20,000. The company said, no, we're not going to pay ransom. And on deadline, boom, they lost their data. They lost their contacts. The whole company was reduced to answering phones, taking notes, and doing it manually. Another company I know of had the same sort of thing happen. They paid the ransom. Literally, you send, I don't know if it's Bitcoin or how you do it, but they somehow put money in an account. They lose that, and then the other guy comes and retrieves it. And the data was saved. So paying the ransom worked. But it's a real interesting call for you as a company. A, you don't know if you pay the money, is it going to actually save you? And B, you don't want to reward these pirates anyway. There's a guy named Brett Johnson that we talked about who is a computer hacker himself. Now he's working on the other side, but he was in our studio a few months ago, and we called him to talk about this again. Hey, Brett, welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you, sir?
Hey, John, I'm great. How are you doing today?
Good. So what do you do now? What's your living these days?
My living these days, I work for the good guys. So I do a lot of consulting with Fortune 50, Fortune 500 companies, financial institutions, consumer groups, law enforcement. I speak all over the planet and use the knowledge that I acquired as a criminal to help people protect themselves against the type of people that I used to be.
You were on the FBI's most wanted computer hacker list, right?
I was. I was one of the United States most wanted, yes.
What do you make of this?
Went to prison, escaped from prison. So, yeah, long story.
Yeah. I know. We couldn't believe the stuff that was coming out of your mouth, but I did when you were in our studio. In fact, did you not escape from prison more than once, or am I confusing you with somebody else?
I was just a one-time deal, so I escaped from prison. When I was out on the lam for 3 to 4 weeks, and they caught me and sent me to a real prison where it was almost impossible to escape. As a matter of fact, I didn't after that. And I'm glad I didn't because I was able to turn my life around at that point.
What do you make of this Radiohead story?
You know, I'm glad that Radiohead took that route of just releasing the music themselves. If you look at ransomware, it's all about either as an individual or a company understanding your place in the cybercrime spectrum. And what I mean by that is that you have a place in that spectrum, that map of a cybercriminal. You, depending on who you are, is how a cybercriminal will victimize you. For example, if you're a CEO, I will victimize you differently than if you work in food service. If you're a company, I'm going to look at a company, can I use the information that your company has to sell it on the black market, like PII stuff, or is it information that I can lock down and hold for ransom? And that, of course, is what happened with Radiohead, is they had information, they threatened Radiohead, if you don't pay us X amount of dollars, we're going to release this information. Radiohead understood, you know, hey, they've got the information anyway. Even if we pay them, the chances of them releasing it pretty high. Let's just go ahead, take the higher road, tell them to, you know, basically bug off. We'll release it ourselves.
How do people make payments when they do that?
It tends to be with Bitcoin, so some sort of cryptocurrency. What happens is you take like a ransomware program like called BitPamer. The PGA was hit with that a couple of years ago. It locked their entire systems down. And what happens is when you're hit with ransomware, you cannot access the information. The only way to get it back is to pay the ransom. Unfortunately, we have a lot of attackers out there that install ransomware on your system, and they don't care about giving your data back. So they'll take the money. They just won't ever get you'll never get access to your information again after that. So you have to be extremely careful.
I cited a case where I know where somebody did, in fact, not lose their data. I don't know that
you're absolutely right.
So maybe, I don't know, what advice do you have to companies when, or bands, whomever, what advice do you have to them when somebody says, we're going to shut you down unless you give us X thousands of dollars?
The problem is that you don't know who your attacker is. You have to realize that your attacker is a criminal. So the criminal is motivated by profit. Now, if it's a ransomware group of attackers like BitPamer, certainly they give the information back. They'll even have someone remote in and help you get your data back after you pay the ransom. But there's tons of these ransomware attackers that will install ransomware. You pay them the $15,000 or $20,000, or in the case of the PGA, $250,000, and you never get the data back.
Wait a minute.
So you have to.
What happened to the PGA? The Professional Golf Association? That PGA?
Professional Golf Association was hit with BitPamer. They paid the ransom. So they got the data back.
And that worked in that case, but it cost them $250,000.
That worked in that case.
It's amazing, though, isn't it? I mean, I don't know exactly how this works, but somebody's going to withdraw that money from this BitPamer site using Bitcoin, say. Well, somebody must know who that is if you register with a company to receive. Why are you laughing at me? Doesn't it seem logical that somebody would know?
No. See, that's the miracle of crypto, of a lot of these cryptocurrencies. A lot of them are privatized. Now, Bitcoin is not, but it allows people to move value or currency somewhat anonymously. So you've got this thing called the blockchain, which is a distributed ledger system. Everyone shares that ledger that uses Bitcoin, and those transactions are kept track of, but you really don't know who's on the other side of that wallet, of who's collecting the money, or even who, a lot of the time, who's sending the money. It takes a lot of work to try to figure out who that is. So you can move massive amounts of money pretty anonymously. That's one of the big miracles of cryptocurrency, is it allows criminals to launder money anonymously.
Does that have a legitimate use?
You know, yes, it does. So we're looking now at cryptocurrency. It's much cheaper to move massive amounts of value using cryptocurrency than it is to use traditional bank transactions with moving currency. So there are definitely use cases for blockchain and cryptocurrency. Unfortunately, most of it right now is laundering money. If you look at the South Koreans, basically what they do is they use cryptocurrency to launder money. China, the exact same thing. A lot of the people who use cryptocurrency in China, it's strictly laundering money. Certainly all criminal transactions online involve cryptocurrency and their ability to launder those funds.
Well, do the cryptocurrency people care? I mean, do they feel bad about the fact that they're aiding and abetting this sort of theft?
You know, I've talked to some people that do. I've talked to a lot of people who simply don't. What we see time and again with technology, if technology can be used to help people remain anonymous or to launder funds, the first adopters are criminals. Yeah. That's what happened with Bitcoin. The first adopters are criminals. Now, as Bitcoin is becoming mature, we see that legal institutions are coming in, that it's becoming mass adopted by, you know, legitimate people. But initially, no, it tends to be criminals. And honestly, I don't think that most anyone cares about that who uses currency either.
Is this business of ransomware on the uptick? Has it peaked? I mean, can you talk about the incidence of that?
Sure, it's not going anywhere at all. So what we're seeing is that a lot of fraud is being stopped online. So if you take counterfeit credit cards, the chips that are now in the cards, that's stopped a lot of physical credit card theft. Well, those attackers, they're looking to move into different areas, and one of the areas is ransomware. So it's easy to install ransomware. If you look at phishing attacks, 92% of every single breach begins with a phishing attack. Company breaches, 56% of every single company has been a victim of a third-party breach. So some of these third-party vendors, which access a company's database or their computer system, they're not secure. So what an attacker does is he compromises the third-party company, and by compromising the third-party company, he gets access to the main target that he's looking at. So you've got these types of problems that are around here that are allowing criminals to become more successful at crime, and that's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Companies that I'm thinking of are not small companies, too. You'd think they'd have enough sophistication or resources to keep this from happening to them. I don't know if these cyber criminals attack big companies, medium companies, small companies. Who do they go after?
It's everyone and anyone, whoever they can get access to. So the problem is that there are so many exploits out there, known exploits that criminals can use. If you look at the largest cyber attack in history, it was called NotPetya. It happened in 2017. It was a nation-state attack. You had Russia attacking the Ukraine. And the way they did that is they used known exploits. They compromised basically the Ukraine's version of QuickBooks. They compromised that and used that third party of QuickBooks, of Ukraine's QuickBooks, to install what looked like a ransomware attack throughout the planet. It started with Ukraine, but it quickly hit Maersk, it hit pharmaceutical companies, it shut down all these companies. It cost billions and billions of dollars, this attack did. It's something that is not going anywhere. It's going to continue to get worse.
My producer said, "Hey, John, you got to stop talking to Brett Johnson. We got more things to do. You are the former FBI Most Wanted list member who's now working for the good guys. If people want to use your resources, Brett Johnson, how do they get a hold of you?"
Sure, you can contact me on LinkedIn. You can also go to my website, www.anglerphish.com.
Nice to talk to you, Brett. Let's visit again. Thanks for your help today.
Thank you, John. Have a great day.
He's glad that Radiohead did what they did.